Well, good morning. It's good again for us to have an opportunity to study God's word, and I trust that as we read the passage today, God will speak into our hearts and lives. Let's pray together. Lord, again, we just thank you for your word, which is so eternally true. Thank you that you communicate so wonderfully clear that we can understand what your desires for us are. And help us, Lord, to not only understand them, but to put them into practice as well. In Jesus' name we pray that. Amen. Well, last week we began to look at verse Psalm 40. We looked at the first three verses. And today I want us to look at verses 4 through 10. Last week we learned that when God answers prayer, He knows what we're facing. He knows that we're waiting for him. He knows about our circumstances. He knows where we are. He saves us from what we're facing because he hears our cry and he lifts us out of the mud. And then he gives us something we don't deserve. He gives us security and belonging. He gives us purpose and he gives us a heart of praise. So, that was when God listens to us, when we speak to him and call out to him, he answers our prayer. But God also makes requests of us. So David, as he writes, he says this: "Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false idols. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders you have done. The things you planned for us, no one can recount to you. Were I to speak and tell of them, they would be too many to declare. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have spoken into. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, Here I am. I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I proclaim my righteousness in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, as you know, O Lord. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and salvation. I do not conceal your love and your truth from the great assembly." So last week we saw how God responds to our requests, and let's see what God wants and desires from us. I've called my message What God Wants and What He Does Not Want from Us. So let's start with the negative first. What does God not want from us? There are three things he mentions in this passage. First of all, God doesn't want fame worship. Verse 1 says, "Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, because he is the one who does not look to the proud." Friends, we're living in a time when people are looking at others for answers. Hero worship. Successful people are often prideful people. They think the world owes them something. They demand respect and attention. Sadly, people chase after those who've got a high opinion of themselves. I'm astounded how many people chase after false prophets and teachers, even when they've got nothing to say. We call this hero worship. They give themselves titles and then all of a sudden they're self-important. The Bible is full of ways and examples of ways people are proud. Psalm 123, verse 4 says, "We have endured much ridicule from the proud, much contempt from the arrogant." Proud people are often arrogant. Psalm Psalm 147:8 says, "Sovereign Lord, my strong deliverer, who shields my hand for the day of battle, don't grant the wicked their desires. O Lord, don't let their plans succeed, or they will become proud." See, success goes to people's head. They kind of think that just because they're successful, that now they are important. Proverbs 16 verse 5 says this, "The Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this," he says, "they will not go unpunished." Proverbs 21 verse 4 says, "Haughty eyes and a proud heart, the lamp of the wicked, are sin." That's as if they kind of, you know, got this attitude about themselves. Proverbs 21 verse 24 also says, "The proud and arrogant man, mocker is his name. He belaves with overweening pride." I had to look up that word, overweening. It means showing excessive confidence. That bravado of the proud. Friends, why does God not want us to give fame worship? Well, simply this, friends. The sin of Satan was pride. That's the sin, friends. That's, in many ways, the essence of sin. In a passage in Ezekiel chapter 28, we have a picture of who Satan is. In verse 17, it says, "Your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you out of heaven and made a spectacle of you." Friends, hero worship is temporary. Hero today, hear or no hear of the O tomorrow. Friends, the people who are my heroes, they're nobody today. Let me just tell you, those who think they are heroes forever, nobody. Friend, God doesn't want fame worship. Not only doesn't he want fame worship, God also doesn't want false worship. Verse 4 carries on and it says, "Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud or those who turn aside to false worship." You know, to worship a living being may kind of make some sense. But to worship idols, that doesn't make any sense at all. Listen to how Isaiah describes. It's quite a long passage, but it's quite insightful. Isaiah 44 verses 9 to 20. "How foolish are those who manufacture idols. Their prized possessions are really worthless. The people who worship idols don't know this. So they are all put to shame. Who but a fool would make his own god? An idol that cannot help him one bit. All who worship idols will be disgraced, along with their craftsmen, mere humans, who claim they can make a god. They may all stand together, but they will stand in terror and shame. The blacksmith stands at his forge to make a sharp tool, pounding and shaping it with all his might. His work makes him hungry and weak. It makes him thirsty and faint. Then the woodcarver measures a block of wood and draws a pattern in it. He works with chisel and plane and carves it into a human figure. He gives it human beauty and puts it in a little shrine. He cuts down cedars. He selects the cypress and the oak. He plants the pine in the forest to be nourished by the rain. Then he uses part of the wood to make fire. With it he warms himself and bakes his bread. And yes, it's true. He takes the rest of it and makes a god to worship. He makes an idol and bow down in front of it. He burns part of the tree to roast his meat to keep himself warm. Then he says, oh, the fire feels good. Then he takes what's left and makes a god, a carved idol. He falls down in front of it, worshipping and praying to it. Rescue, he says, you're my god. Such stupidity and ignorance. Their eyes are closed and they cannot see. Their minds are shut and they cannot think. The person who made the idol never stops to reflect. Why? It's just a block of wood. I burnt half of it for heat and used it to bake my bread and roast my meat. How can the rest of it be a god? Should I bow down to worship a piece of wood? The poor, deluded fool feeds on ashes. He trusts something that cannot help him at all, yet he cannot bring himself to ask, is this idol that I'm holding in my hand a lie? Oh, friends, idol worship doesn't make any sense at all. That's why God does not want fame worship, and he doesn't want false worship. Thirdly, friends, God doesn't want fake worship. Verse 6 says, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. David, I believe, very early in his interaction with God, realized, friends, that God is far more interested in relationship rather than performance. On more than one occasion, we read about the failure of the sacrificial system. When David was confessing his sin in Psalm 51, he says, you don't delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. Proverbs 15 verse 8 says, the Lord detests the sacrifice of the wicked, but the prayer of the upright pleases him. Again, the Proverbs say in verse 21, verse 1-3 says, you do what is right and just. To do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. And then that famous passage we know in Hosea 6, verse 6, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. The acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. Like Adam, they have broken the covenant. They were unfaithful to me there. Friends, Hebrews chapter 5 reminds us, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice an offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. Friends, fake worship may appear real, but it's not. It's just fake, friends. There's a lot of fake worship happening in the world around us. People who claim powers and abilities that they don't have. Friends, be careful. God, what does God not want from us? He doesn't want fame worship. He doesn't want false worship. And he doesn't want fake worship, friends. God wants us to get real with him. So what does God want from us? Well, there are four things that God wants from us. First of all, He wants our trust. Verse 4 says, blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. Friends, this man must be blessed and happy who casts his soul with all its burden of sin and righteousness at the footstool of God's mercy, for he will save all that come to him through the Son of his love. Psalm 2 verse 12 says, blessed are all who take refuge in him. Jeremiah 17 verses 7 and 8 says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends its root by the stream. It does not fear what heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in the year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Friend, when God is your trust, you have a source of unbelievable strength and ability, because, friends, it's God who provides, not ourselves. So the first thing God wants our trusts. Not only does he want our trust, God wants our wonder. Verse 5 says, many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done. The things you planned for us, no one can recount to you. Were I to speak and tell of them, there would be too many to declare. John Piper, a very famous American preacher, has a phrase that resonates with my soul. The phrase is this: God is most glorified in you when you are most satisfied in him. Listen to that again. God is most glorified in you when you are most satisfied in him. Friend, what he's trying to say is that when you're giving your all to God, when God fulfills your heart and your soul, friends, that is when God is most glorified. Many have rejected God because they believe that God is only interested in his own glory. And yes, that's true, friends. God is interested in his own glory. See, for them, God cannot condemn pride in people when he's only interested in receiving glory himself. But friends, there's just one difference. Why does God want our wonder? Why does he want to be glorified? Because, friends, there is nobody greater than God. He's the only one worthy of our glory and our praise. So not only does he want our trust, he wants our wonder. Thirdly, God wants our wholehearted commitment. David writes, he said, I said, here I am. I have come. It is written in about me in your scroll. I desire to do your will, O my God. Your law is written within my heart. Friend, God wants us to do his will. That's what he wants, wholehearted commitment. Simply because, friends, his will is good, pleasing, and perfect. You see, many have rejected God because they believe that God is only interested in himself. But friends, listen to what it says in Romans 1 verse 9. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you. Friend, God wants our wholehearted commitment. The reason the Apostle Paul was able to serve in the way that he did, friends, because he served wholeheartedly. Why was David a man after God's own heart? Because, friends, he served God wholeheartedly. God wants our trust. God wants our wonder. God, friend, wants our wholehearted commitment. And fourthly, God wants our testimony. David says, I proclaim righteousness in the great assembly. I don't seal my lips, as you know, O Lord. I don't hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and salvation. I don't conceal your love and the truth from the great assembly. Friends, Israel were called to be the light of the world. Listen to what it says in Isaiah 49, verse 6. God says, is it too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept? I will also make you a light to the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. Friends, the problem is Israel failed because they were only interested in themselves. They failed, friends, and the task is now given from Jesus, friends, to us. First of all, it was given to Jesus. In John chapter 8, Jesus spoke to the people. He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever walks with me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of the world. But then he said to us, Matthew 5, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Friend, God wants our testimony. So what does God not want? He doesn't want fame worship. He doesn't want fake worship, and he doesn't want false worship. But what does God want? He wants our trust. He wants our wonder. He wants our wholehearted commitment. And he wants our testimony. Now finally, why does God not want and want these things? Friends, for this simple reason, this passage, while it points to us and while it points to David, it points to Jesus. In our study in the book of Hebrews, friends, you will remember this passage is quoted in Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 to 10, Jesus says, the writer to the book of Hebrews says this about Jesus. He says this, this is why Christ, when he came into the world, said, you did not want animal sacrifices and grain sacrifices, but you gave me a body so that I may obey you. No, you were not pleased with animals burnt on the altar or with other offerings of sin. Then I said, look, I have come to do your will, O God, just as it is written about me in the scriptures. Christ said, you did not want sacrifices of grain offerings or burnt offerings on the altar or other offerings of sin, nor were you pleased with them, though they were required by the law of Moses. Then he added, look, I have come to do your will. He cancels the first covenant in order to establish the second. And what God wants from us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the blood of Jesus Christ once and for all. So friends, what does God not want? He doesn't want fame worship or false worship or fake worship, but he wants from us to put our trust in Jesus. He wants from us to wonder the wonder of the Jesus story. He wants wholehearted commitment to Jesus, and he wants testimony about Jesus. Friends, that's what God wants and what he doesn't want. He's willing to answer us. Last week, look at how he answered us. He's given us things we don't deserve, friends. Are we giving our best to him? Are we giving him our trust? Are we giving him our wonder? Are we giving him our wholehearted commitment? Are we giving him our testimony? Friend, like we learned in the book of Hebrews, there is nobody other than Jesus we can talk about. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, that you are worthy of us worshiping you. You are worthy of us witnessing about you. Help us, Lord, to put our faith and trust in you, to trust you wholeheartedly, and speak confidently about you wherever we may go. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, go out speaking the word of God in this week. Amen.